But is the payment that's coming out of that restricted grant shown in capital expenditures?
No, because that would be, we'd have to show that on cash, on the cash flow.
Okay, well, I guess my concern is, I'm not sure, somebody who knows more about this should comment, but I'm not sure that it makes sense to show grants as
I'll clean up the grant memory. I know that we didn't book the phone system. That's the part that we're financing.
We are financing a piece of the remaining of the. This is Bertolt.
Hey.
Hi. Yeah. We're financing the remaining of the of whatever is left of the phone system after we've paid made a deposit from the donation, and the refinancing is $750 a month, every month, and it's under capital expenditure, furniture, office equipment, and telephone.
Okay, so that's the part that you're going to pay that does not come from the grant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, am I correct? I mean, it seems that if we're going to count that restricted grant as income, we should count how it's going to be spent on the expenses side. We should show that money going out.
It goes out on the cash flow. Let me look at that and we'll get back. We'll send a little explanation. We'll either adjust it or send an explanation tomorrow on how we actually have that set up.
That's fine. That's my understanding of how budgeting is done, but I may be incorrect because I'm not an expert.
You would have it on the cash, you have a 750, and then you would have you would accrue it, and then you would expend it over. But actually, it'll be an expense at the time. We'll have to see how she treats the initial down payment. Right. I'll have to look at how I initially treat the down payment on the cash versus the budget.
Yeah, no problem. When you get a chance, that would be great.
I'll work it through tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic. Let's see, I heard somebody's voice.
Summer.
That was Brian.
Okay, how about Brian and then Summer?
Sure.
Just in response to your question, none of our budgets have followed that, although they should, because you're absolutely right with the grant budgeting. If you wanted to match the format of our audit, you would show restricted grant money in. Next to your bottom line at the bottom, you would show restricted assets released from restrictions, which means whatever portion of your grant money you've spent during the same fiscal year, and then a restricted and unrestricted fund balance. I mean, you need two bottom lines when you start
you have
accounting
to,
that
you
way.
You have to do the correct accounting on it. So, and no, we haven't done it. That's where I said I'll show you exactly how it goes in and out tomorrow.
Sure.
To move on tonight.
Okay, and Brian, are you saying that the other budgets also have a similar problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've never really done it correctly anywhere in the network.
No.
I see. Okay.
I agree with you that it's a problem and we should be doing it right. It's always something our auditors have fixed, kind of after the fact.
Gotcha. Okay, Summer?
Yes. Well, Brian brings up other interesting issues, so I'll make a quick comment on them as well. But LaVarn, if you would be so kind, for those of us who aren't aware of it, just when you send out the information, if you could just elucidate, like in one paragraph, what the nature of these restricted grants are.
Right.
And if there's a building fund grant, how it's structured. Is this something that we have in a restricted account garnering interest over a period of years so eventually we can buy a building? Because with all the deficits there, anyway, just because, we don't need to take up time on the call, but that would be helpful.
Okay.
Just to have a better understanding of how things are functioning there since they don't own a building. And the other thing with what Brian and what you're both saying about this is, in the long run, again, we should be streamlining this. We should make our accounting conform with what the auditors actually do because, it costs you more when auditors have to readjust the formatting of your stuff in order to put it into the right stuff. Those changes, that's time at their end. So it would be to our best interest to have things that are most accurate and also conform to, a standardized audit type of format. That would be helpful to us. So maybe we can work towards that as we keep changing software and adjusting people to things. That would be probably a good idea. So.
Yeah, we'll work on that, particularly in the business managers meeting.
Yeah.
So that.
Yeah, it can be, these things don't have to be rough. We got to get through getting these this year's budget's done. But, you know, it's one of those things that can be harmonized in over the course of the next year or something.
Right.
Okay, well then why don't we seem to have a plan of action around that item. So let's move down. Most of the rest of the queries are not such a big deal. It's the income that was, you know, my main concern. Let's see, there's one issue here, row 41, which is called under capital, it's leasehold building improvements, but actually it's the repayment of debt. It's both repayment of BAI's portion of the Heath endowment, and also there's some extra debt repayment there, which seems to be based on the fact that BAI was going to help pay down the, to $1 million to the national office. Now, people will recall that we haven't decided to do that, so BAI does owe past central services, so it's good to have a repayment plan. However, if we're thinking of developing a contingency, what to do if money comes in, that is money that the Heath portion of that repayment needs to get paid, but the rest of the repayment perhaps could be part of a contingency if expected income doesn't come in as far as expected. Part of that, I think the majority of that $104,000 could be, you know, postponed payment. BAI owes $1.2 million in back central services.
Central services and bill back, which include bill back would include things like legal that was never paid, mm-hmm. legal payments, health benefits that were never paid.
And how much is the Heath portion?
The Heath portion is $2,176 per month.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just like,
And if you multiply that, I know you can do that in your head.
Yeah, it's 24,000. And what was it? 2,000 what? 100 per month? Anyway, so.
It's like 26,000.
21,000 in 10 months.
Oh, right, because it doesn't start.
So it's 25,000.
After 42, so it's 25, 20, yeah. Okay, so but the rest of that is being what amortized over the year as central.
That's
services?
Some other repayment. You know, we had entertained the idea. You may not have been around, but there was a plan to rebuild national office reserves by having all the stations contribute to pay back $1 million to national office. And that plan wasn't followed up on. However, BAI's budget still has that repayment in it. So the rest of the repayment beyond the Heath, which, as you've calculated, is about $25,000, the remainder, which is about, what, $79,000, that could be, you know, that could be part of a contingency plan, what won't get paid if income doesn't come in as expected.
Well, was the only real income line we're tremendously concerned about? One of them, well, we got both major donors and the telemarketing. And.
Well, actually, I'm concerned about...
Everything?
Well, I'm concerned about listener support, additional support, which is telemarketing, and major donor. You know, we're projecting a total net income of $3.9 million. This year's actual net income was $2.8
million. Oh, so that's, million one more.
That's quite a substantial increase. You know, who knows exactly? If everything works out great, I mean, that's fantastic, and I totally support the efforts of the station to bring in the extra income. However,
gotcha,
you know, we have to expect that, you know, it might not all work out.
Bumpy economy ahead. Well, and that about correlates with the debt to the national office. Well, my suggestion is to figure out, you know, your central services, like two different forms of central services for this year, and I really think that past due debt has to be amortized over a period of time to make it approachable. I mean, that's just me, but, you know, that it gets added into...
Well, it shouldn't be forgotten. But,
no,
you know,
it shouldn't be forgotten, but it should a little chunk, and I'm serious, spread over, you know, the next couple of years, but to where it gets added onto central services all the time, and that makes it a pill that can be swallowed, you know?
Can I say something about
the main thing is that, I mean, what I'm, as far as central services, what I'd be looking for is for BAI to get on track, which I think they're already starting to get on track with, making regular central services.
Right,
payments.
Current payments first, yeah.
Yeah, once they do that, and, you know, I think that's going to be a great boon to national office once BAI starts once BAI is making regular payments, which I think is actually already happening. But
Jamie?
Yeah, hold on one sec. So that paying past central services is that's the next level of of recovery. I don't know. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah.
You know, if we make the current payments, we're still paying, you know, $500,000. Per year. That's not bad. That's pretty good. So, okay, Jamie? Were there some other questions out there? I heard somebody.
Jamie, this is Bert.
Bert.
Can I address one of your concern about the fund drive?
Which concern would you like to address?
If you look at the fund drive assumption sheet.
He doesn't have a concern about the funds.
Oh, okay, never mind. Because you will see that last year we took most of the fund drive in September, and then we booked it against the previous year. You know, this year our fund drive started in October, so we have $825,000 budgeted this year starting in October, whereas of last year we only had $184,000. So we had a difference of $650,000.
I understand, but there was also a December drive last year that you're not going to have this year. So
yeah.
last year, even despite the fact that the fall drive fell in the previous year, a lot of that income surfaced in FY09, and last year the station still did a hefty number of fund drive days in FY09. So I do believe that the fund drive goal assumptions are reasonable.
Okay.
And the fulfillment, I expect, you know, we think that's reasonable if you guys can, you know, if you can do all the things that you've laid out. There's no reason not to.
Okay. All right.
So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was that? That was 104. That was line row 41. So, all right. And just to let you know, when I went over this budget after our last meeting, this expense was repeated on a different line. Now it's been removed. So that's one of the values of having a lot of people look at your budget. Okay, the next query, salaries tab. We said we
values need to... that you can't hide stuff.
Pardon?
Values that you can't hide stuff. Never mind.
Okie dokie. The salaries tab, our query was that you need to include a salary for GM, which they have done so, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we discussed, I don't know if we can discuss this in open session, but can you just tell me yes or no, are the wages for the casuals who work in the tally room, are they accounted for? Where are they accounted for, on the salaries tab or on a different place in this budget?
We have on salary because, you know, those people have worked, and basically we put their salary in terms of the number of fund drive days.
Okie dokie. All right.
And that is why you see, like, our FTE might have gone up a bit, because we count those people based on how many hours they work. We divide it by, we do a little formula, so you could see 0.15 FTE, you know, or 3.5, you know, things like that. So because we're trying to count every, you know, which I'm not sure we should do, but, you know.
Yeah.
We are counting, you know, every work hour at the station, and that's why you see the 19 FTE.
Okay. All right, thank you, Berthold. Okay, and then the next query, row 52, we asked about health benefits. We seem to have a question there. And these are the right health. It seems like they have changed, so they look pretty reasonable now compared to what the gross salary is.
Yeah, that was the issue that I had. We were trying to get, you know, some of the information on the KPFT business manager came up and helped us get the information on that.
Okay, so that's been.
We really appreciate that, Alberta.
Okay, now let's moving right along. Then we discussed the drop in telephone costs. This is row 57 on the Excel sheet. From budgeted $35,000 from $81,000 of last year. And you guys say that the reason is the new phone system. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you plan to have that done by December or January?
Hopefully yesterday. Yeah.
But December or January is a reasonable expectation.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I was in California, I went out to the company and sat down, and we went through another webinar with John Almela and Otis McClay, and I looked and felt and saw everything.
Good.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Well, it shows the same expense every month starting in October, so if you're not expecting to have it set up until 4 or 5 months into the fiscal year, should at least change the first 4 or 5 months.
You know, we can change it up until the time we actually submit it, but we were trying to put in a budget that was consistent. But you know, we're going to miss on some and be accurate on the other side. We've missed that, but we will recover someplace else.
Okay, go ahead. Summer?
Am I correct? We use an accrual basis of accounting, no?
Yes.
So
yes.
I think you're booking the expense in October and you've entered into the contracts in October for this phone system. Am I correct on all that?
We haven't signed it, but basically, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think, the point at which one anticipates the expense is the point at which one books the expense, even if the actual work isn't completed for another 3 or 4 months. So.
No, I'm not talking about the capital work somewhere. It's the phone bill.
Oh, you mean the actual phone bill.
Bill line. They're expecting their bills to go down after they have to
submit. I can look at last month's results and put that in.
Well, I think these are the little tiny things that need to be nipped and tucked on each of these budgets where we have a few loose edges. So.
Well, but it's $25,000 in this budget.
I understand. But I think we should just make a pile of notes tonight on all the things that need to be corrected so that they're corrected by next
week. Yeah, that's what I'm
doing.
Because
that's sort of what we had to do with all of them.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay, then we had a query about legal, and you guys told us that was definitely a real thing. That was row 62, so we probably can't get into really what it is on this call.
Well, it's we have to pay $5,000 a month to a legal firm here. That's the agreement that was made with our foundation counsel.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, the clarity on that one. Okay, then row 70, we wondered the credit card fee, and you told us that you're cutting out the intermediary, and so stuff is going to be cheaper than it has been.
It should drop, significantly, But, there still will be some costs. I know they're going to charge us something. It's just what it is. So I'm hoping to get them in here this week so we can start talking. We can see what the implementation, what we need to do, and what work we have to do with MEMSIS on this, because that was another thing that was thrown at me today in terms of MEMSIS with this. So anyway, I talk with them Friday, and I should be safe. I'm trying to get them in sometime this week to come over and show me exactly what they will be able to do.
Gotcha.
Safe down the street.
Okay, that's sort of a smaller number. Okay,
right.
And then we had a query. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
No, I just want to be, do you know exactly what your rate is going to drop to with the credit cards?
No, that's what I said. I know it will be something, but it won't be this what you're paying Global Payments. That's also a thing that Chase is actually submitting proposals to, and I'll send that out to all the business managers to look at. The guy resent it to me today from Wells Fargo. So all of them are promising a lower. We hope to reduce this fee, but we still have in the budget basically kind of what we had before. But all of them are promising to drop that rate. So do you know what you're paying now for? Because you don't have, who do you have, Brian? You don't have Global Payments. You have Payment Solutions or something?
I think so. It'd take me a few minutes to pull it up.
I think it's Payment Solutions, and
you can talk with Chris Nellick if you want, because he
2.3 or something.
I don't know off the top of my
head. Okay, well, So Chase has also submitted something, and I'm sending it out. This guy resubmitted it to me today, and so I'm sending it out to the business managers. And then again, Chase, we're looking at a reduction. But it's going to cost me something. I just don't know what it is right now.
Just to be clear, the 2% figure you have in there right now, that's just a placeholder until you get exact numbers.
Well, that was what we looked at the past. And we calculated the rate, and that's what it was.
And whatever your discounted rate is, it's not affecting your fall fund drive because you've already done the credit
card. Sorry?
Whatever my discount rate
is not affecting
that?
What?
Sorry, what was that, Jamie?
Can you repeat what you just said?
And whatever your new rate winds up being, it wasn't in effect for the billing you did on your fall fund drive because you've already run those cards. You haven't.
I told you they're going to come in this week. No, no.
Okay.
Now what happened? We're still using the same process that everyone else is using now. You use an intermediary.
Right. So I guess it's not a huge drop from the past year, but given that your total listener support is going up by nearly 33%, it might be off in the tens of thousands.
It also the idea also is to improve efficiency because going to a middleman to go to put your money in the bank, I think it's a problem because that would be AI. We can never see the cash on time.
Bertold, I think we all think this is a good idea. We're just trying to make sure we're budgeting for it accurately.
Oh, that's not really in the improvement in terms of whatever we're able to get. It's not really in the budget. We base this on the past. Just a straight calculation. If we look at revenue versus cost.
But your actuals for fiscal year 2009 showing you paying $41,000 in credit card fees on $2 million in revenue, and your budget shows you paying $27,000. $13,000 less on $2.8 million in listener support revenue.
This is Summer. Can I be on the stack?
Please. Okay.
To cut these things short, and I think Bertolt just made a point that I made like 3 weeks ago, which is when you use a third-party caging service or, you know, any third-party service that's between you and the bank, because the bank is already making money off of you, the third-party service is also making a percentage. Anyway, if it is possible... LaVarne, could you maybe copy us treasurers under strict confidentiality with whatever it is you're sending the business managers? I mean, I know something about this. If I could just see, you know, I mean, you should be paying a certain amount, and if you're paying that, then it's just a matter of mathematical calculation to see if it fits with what the projections are for income of next year. And I mean, this should be very straightforward to look at what you've been paying in the past, and, you know, you're going to pay a little more on American Express than on Visa and MasterCard. But, again, these sound like something that a note should be made on, and rerun the numbers and send everything out, and then it sounds like we maybe could have a corrected budget with these few loose ends taken care of by next week, and we could vote on it. Would be nice. So.
I'm sending this now.
Okay. All right. So why don't we move on? I made a note on that line. Let's see. Most of the rest of the stuff we asked for last week, the written responses we got were pretty explanatory, and either LaVarne and Bertold made a change in the budget or they explained why they didn't need to. So I'm not going to hit every query here. The main one, though, there is a confusion about the rents. Is it correct? Because what we're doing is comparing the budgeted number to the FY09 actual. Is it correct that there were some rent payments accrued in FY09 that shouldn't actually have been in FY, that actually were for FY08 rent payments, and the FY09 total looks too high? That would explain, I mean, actually it looks like the rent payments you have budgeted are probably reasonable.
All the bad payments.
The rent payments, you know, during the audit, we're looking at all of these numbers, all of the rent. Plus, we had a director inspection today, and they pulled all the rent stuff too. And we have asked for this record. We have a reconciliation as of June, and we'll show you the other reconciliation for all 12 months. But yeah, the numbers for the budget are correct.
Okay, and then I don't know that there's any other of the queries that are not that we need to
election
discuss.
Costs. I didn't understand the response on.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Row 95, LSB election costs. Yeah, the one thing we wondered was the current year actual you have budgeted, or you have 36. I mean, not current year. FY09. I keep forgetting that we're already in the new year. FY09, we had $36,000 spent on LSB election. FY10, we're budgeting $37,000. And our concern is that actually there's more election activity this year in FY10 than there is in FY09, because FY09, we had like the start of an LSB election. This year we have the finish of that LSB election and the start of another LSB election. And especially at BAI, our expenses are probably because of our tremendous way of doing elections. So it appears that those expenses, the budgeted expenses of $37,000, are probably too low.
Since we actually accrued some of the expenses that we knew that we would be hit with for the second round of this 2009 election, we accrued. I'll have to send the exact amount in the month of September. And yeah, I think in August too, when we knew the expenses were coming up. So I'll get the exact accrual that we made from the national office. In fact, I can send to the NFC our year-to-date accounting on elections expenses. I'll write that down. I'll send that to you. I'll send Lynn's worksheet. We'll send it tomorrow. But we did. We accrued some of the BAI expenses that we knew we would be charged. Then the other thing that we will do is that our unaudited 2009 expenses, I will get that out. I've asked to get the unaudited 2009 actual, so we'll get that out, and the target is at least by the end of the week, so we'll send that out, and then we can show the major accruals and show the other major items that you wanted to see in terms of where we are in terms of an age trial balance on major expenses and chargebacks like Democracy Now and FSRN. And so it's that information that you wanted as of the end of the year. So again, what I'm shooting for is the actual unaudited for 2009.
Okay.
We're targeting the end of this week, like Friday.
Even this after?
And then that will give us, and then I can show you the major accruals we made in those numbers.
Okie dokie.
Because that is what, the exact numbers. I don't have it from this sheet here.
All right, LaVarne, thank you for that. I actually just have one major question left, which is on rows 132 and 133, the community events items.
Uh-huh.
132 is community events expenses is $3,600 versus the budget. It seems like, I don't have a problem with that number. But then the next row, 133, is special events. It says in FY09 we spent $44,000 on special events. And the current, in FY10 we don't have anything. First of all, what are special events, and is our budget correct in saying we're not going to spend anything on special events?
Well, I mean, the one special event that I know we had was in August, September, was for our, we had an event at, for the three of those major programmers here at BAI. So the other special events, we'll have to see and separate that from the community events.
Is Arpal there?
Of course I'm here.
You're here, good. Listening intently to every word. Do you have an idea of what this special events is referring to? Row 133 in the bud.
Not off the top of my head, I don't. I mean, I haven't been dwelling on that, but that is a
is there an expense
question,
associated
yeah.
with Rothenberg ticket sales? Do you all pay anything in order to do it?
Yep, we did. And that's in where is that?
See, that's up.
That's the end program.
That is up.
That's in.
I thought that was. No, R. It's on line 12.
Now that's where the revenue is.
That's the income.
I thought you were asking for that.
No, where is there cost? Does that cost us money?
Oh,
yes.
Of course it does.
Okay.
It costs us money into what, and we pay. To the support to put that on. Rothenberg Street.
Is that, do you know where those expenses show up in our budget?
We're looking at it right here. We're looking for it right here.
Because, yeah, special events, that sounds suspiciously like Rothenberg.
Well,
what
it,
is Rothenberg? I'm sorry.
The amount should be accrued. You see, the amount should be accrued each month. Should be almost identical. Yeah.
What Rothenberg is, Summer, we have a program at BAI Saturday mornings where a man offers tickets as a premium for contributions.
Okay.
Theater tickets, and it's like a fun drive, basically, but it happens all year long, so the money falls into a different slot.
Gotcha, and you have expenses on that. Okay.
Yeah, and the way the income is should be around $200,000.
Okay.
It's going to have craft fair, other events, DR.
Yeah.
That's
gotcha.
What it, that's
okay.
How it,
I have to ask a moment of personal privilege. I have to leave the call.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your help, Summer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And then, not to reiterate, but are we meeting next week to hopefully approve this budget and maybe start looking at WPFWs? Or?
Before we get, Summer is asking a question, LaVarne and Grace, do you guys know if we're any chance of seeing a WPFW budget soon?
I would say hopefully. This is Campbell.
Okay, good.
Yeah, our plan, like we will work with Hubbard and West.
Okay.
Hopefully,
I trust you'll be giving me a call when that's taking place.
Oh, as soon as we work out the time, then I'll have Hubbard and West will call you. But if you give me your number, send me your number, I'll call you. Yes.
202.
Oh, 202.
You don't want to do it over the screen.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all. And it sounds like the WBAI budget is almost there, so perhaps we could get it approved next week, which would be really helpful.
I have to say, I don't think it's going to be approved next week because. Our finance committee hasn't dealt with it yet, and that's going to be in the next week or so.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it all to you to schedule the next meeting then. Okay. Bless you. Everyone have a great night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much.
I think Jamie?
Yes, Lisa.
I need to go. I usually have very hectic early mornings these days.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for attending, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, then. Thanks very much.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
If you look at community events under revenue, craft fair, Row 11.
Yeah, that's the Drothenberg income, right?
At $220,000, about.
Yeah.
And now, from what I remember, we pay him like a third of it. It's frustrating. We can't find it now.
Yeah.
But it's probably part of some other programming expense.
An expense of one third sounds historically accurate.
Yeah, that's what it is. But and the other thing, like with everything, once we get our databases and we get this new process in place where the credit card goes directly into the operating account, we will have a better. I'll be able to see reports where I can see exactly where the funds go and how they go into the different pockets too. So that's my concern.
So just to be clear, it looks like we're missing an expense line in this budget, the Rothenberg expenses.
We're frantically looking for it.
Well, you guys don't have to look frantically right now. Why don't we just make a note, and then when we get before the next time, we'll have that squared away.
Yeah, we'll have it squared away by tomorrow. Yeah, we had it on. Okay.
Okay. So are there any other questions from committee members for the
Brian here?
The BAI team? Okay, go ahead, Brian.
The community events, you show $33,000 in new revenue and $3,000 expenses. I was wondering if you could just lay out what the plan is for community events.
We have what?
Community events.
What about it?
You're showing $33,000 in revenue in the budget that you didn't have the year before, and expenses at a little less than 10%.
Yes, we have a couple of health fairs that are planned for this year, and the reason why the expenses are going down is that some of the health fairs that we had are the events we had this past year. The resources were it was like a stretch in terms of how they were done, and the people who conducted them realized that they added a lot of expense, but it didn't really produce revenue. So now they know how to do events where the revenue is very little in terms of using staff, in terms of not trying to overreach with various things. So I think that this past year and with the management in place, that we can actually do these events at a much, much more lower cost than happened this year. So we have had that experience ourselves here. But yeah, the part, let me just say, is that we will look at the expense part of that, and there may be some change on that.
I would be careful about lowballing events. As you know, LaVarne, we do a lot of events out here at KPFA. Our expenses run about 50% of our revenue. That's what our financial statements show.
But we can.
I know it's not cheap to do anything in New York.
Well, actually, we had this little event in September where there was like I think we had to pay $700, which we made about $35 net, about a third, 25% or so, and we made like it was like 25% cost and 75% revenue. I mean, it wasn't a lot of money, but that was it. But again, I and a lot of these events, I'll just say real quickly, there was really an overstretch in terms of how the events were done, and that it's been a learning experience, and the person who will do them now see that and know that we can use staff to help do a lot of these things. We're going to have the 50th anniversary. We have celebrations throughout the year, and we're planning some things then. We're going to use staff, and they're going to contribute their talent. And the other part is that Chuck D's program begins on the 23rd of this month, and Chuck has committed to doing to do exactly that. The talent is our programmers, and so therefore we will not have expenses going out to pay people at these events. That our programming staff is strong enough and well known enough to carry these events.
Jamie, in other words, we kind of shifted the cost to hiring people and having more temporary workers helping. Like, I would be helping. One of my goalies, I have the major donor. I want this to be a pet project. Robert Knight is kind of working on with the Chuck D stuff, and so it's being shifted to the salary type stuff, and then we expect to be more successful as full time people.
No, I get it, and it's great, and I think we all want y'all to do that. We just want to make sure it's getting budgeted well. I mean, something we asked for last year, I don't think we ever got it, but something we asked for was a rough calendar of events and what the expenses and revenues were expected.
Yeah, I'd like to see that for all stations, the calendar on community events, so that we can see when they're taking place and see the little spikes in revenue.
And what I see in your budget is that you've budgeted the exact same amount of revenue each month, which again just looks like a placeholder number to me.
Thank you. Basically, Kathy Davis, which is one of the programmers here, is and the program director, they have committed to do an event, health fair and community event where they think they're going to raise a lot of money. So, waiting for their proposal, You know, so you're right, we did put a placeholder there. We kind of are cooling it, that stuff, you know, which is not really the way to do it.
Okay, well, let me make a note on that. Okay, did I hear somebody else's voice? No. Oh, okay. Well, I think we have a, I think we've gone through the whole thing. So I guess what we'll do, I have my notes. You guys probably have notes too, but I'll just total them up and send them on to the committee and to Bertold and Lavarne, and then we can go from there. Are there any other questions about the BAI budget?
Nope. I'm packing it in. This is Campbell.
Okay, thank
you. Have a good night.
I have an answer to Grace's question about KPFA's credit card discounting.
Oh, pretty good.
So
Is Grace still here? Is Grace here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
In the 2009 year to date, we had 2.8 million in listener support, which is almost exactly what WBAI is budgeting for next year. And our discounting fees totaled $37,000.
I can't hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
So in fiscal year 2009, KPFA had a little over 2.8 million in listener support. That's almost exactly what WBAI is budgeting for next year. And our credit card fees totaled $37,000. WBAI is budgeting, let's see. $27,000.
Is Bertold on the call?
Yes.
Do you have any idea what that differential is? Has Lavarne been shopping around for a good rate, a better rate?
Right. Yeah. Again, the Chase guy on Friday, I was there at the office, and yeah, I'm trying to commit them to get up here the station this week so that we can see how we're going to set it up so that we will eliminate the big intermediary and we'll see. They'll still probably charge some smaller amount. But yeah, so they've committed the branch down the street has committed to eliminating intermediary global payments so that our credit card deposit receipts will go directly into our account. And so we just have to have them do it, which is what they kind of I've explored and they promised to do all along. And like I'm about to send this proposal I got for Wells Fargo for the other stations to if not eliminate intermediary, but go through Wells Fargo, which will be more than that 2%. We get to 37 on 2,900. So yeah.
Did you say you were gonna talk to them this week? Was that?
I talked to them Friday, and the branch manager there, Chase, assured me that will happen, that we will do that. And his question was whether it would go directly into our Chase account. I said, of course, all of it goes into the Chase account. So that was the only criteria. So they'll set it up so the credit card charges will go directly into our account and it will not have to go through the middle guy. So I'm on them now to get up here and 2 hour to get here so we can like see how we're going to start this and what equipment and how it is actually done. So here we are this week.
Okay.
And again, Wells Fargo has also committed to lowering this rate, and they have a proposal, like I told Summer. I've been trying to send it out, but I go back staying there to the spreadsheet. So, yes, so that they can reduce that rate, which I find just totally amazing, that we pay people, not only do we pay them about 2.7%, but then we allow them to float our money for 2 days.
Okay, well, that's helpful. All right, folks, I'd like to close this discussion if we could. And I'd like to let LaVarne go home and get her rest. But I have one question for you. So when was it that you said, because we're concerned about the PFW budget as well, when did you say you were going to talk to them?
Well, I've talked to Grigsby, and we'll just have to confirm a date when we can, when Ertel will this week we will go down this weekend, and so that's all we have to do, and we, I have to work it through what we have in the national office too, because I'm going to need some help there to put it in a format once they get it, so we can work it.
So you're going to go. You're going to. It won't happen till you go to Washington then.
We're trying to have it start working before we go to Washington. But again, I need help from the national office in terms of putting the information into the format, and then we can start working on it. Then Bertolt can get it, start working on it here in the new template. So that's where we're working on. And then also get the date from Hubbard and West.
Okay. All right. Well, are there any more questions for LaVarne before she goes home and gets her rest?
I really appreciate this. And if you could just, and I have the things here that I know we can work on immediately. And
okay.
All the other issues, if you could just put it in a note, I will respond to it tomorrow when I get in.
Okay. Just make sure when you go home that you go to bed. You don't stay up and watch movies, right?
Right. Not, yeah. The problem is that I didn't get home until after 11 last night. I was here in the office working, but I made it in time to get to Whole Foods, which closes at 11 in New York, not 10.
Excellent. Okay, well, thanks, LaVarne and Bertolt. We really appreciate your help.
Okay, and until I can get out, I'll just put it on mute.
Okay, folks. So let's see. So that basically takes care. Oh, whoops. LaVarne, is still there?
Yeah, I had it on mute until I could get out of here.
Let's see, Susan. The next item yours. Is Susan there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we finished budget items. The next item is response to information requests to management.
Yes, those information requests were. And is LaVarne still on, or is she off?
Yes, she's still here.
Okay, LaVarne, I forwarded to you and Grace and Jamie the list of questions that we have posed, and the question to you that we are waiting for an answer on is, when can those information requests be filled? So we're not asking for the responses now. We're asking for you to give us a date by which those responses can be available to the National Finance Committee.
Okay, I'll have to work with the national workers in the national office and the business managers, because you know we work with a schedule, we work with a closed calendar. So you know, if we come up with a certain date to close, then that information would be available. And you know, I don't want to give out information in the middle of a cycle, because then you can't really compare it. So I'll take those lists of things. I will work with the national office, and we've gotten a commitment again to close on the 5th of the month. In fact, like I said, Marquisha came up to help us close and get some questions answered, which we really got to close done on the 6th workday versus the 5th. So, you know, as long as we get the commitment from the business managers to close on the 5th, and then, you know, I can give you the date and of the other information also. So again, you will have to give me time to send this out to the business managers and the national office, and then get their agreement on dates, and then I can give the dates to you. But my requirement is that we close by the 5th, and then you go forward on when you can get the other reports done.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Okay, so that takes care of your question, Susan?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so then LaVarne, as far as we're concerned, you can go off the call. So we still have a little bit of time. We can go through these other items.
Hey, Jamie, I had one more question on budgets.
Yes.
So from what I gather, the National Board did not take up KPFA's budget at its Sunday meeting?
No, we haven't. We haven't taken up any budgets except for KPFT. We haven't even gotten to the finance committee.
When is the PNB meeting next?
This Sunday.
This Sunday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess here's what I'm getting at. We made modifications to the budget, to the finance committee specifications.
Okay.
Do you want that to go straight to the PNB, or would it make sense for it to come back to this committee for a rubber stamp so there's a less complex motion facing the PNB when it takes it up?
It's probably better for us to do it here.
Okay, then I'll get that out to the committee. I think I sent you a copy already. I wasn't sure if you'd take it straight to the PNB or not.
Yeah, why don't we look? We can deal with that now. Does that make sense?
You want to? Do you mean you want to deal with?
Can we vote on it now? I mean, it's just you changed the CPB number.
Yeah, I can pull it up. I haven't sent it out to the full committee though.
Okay, I might have a copy. But basically, what numbers were changed? It was the CPB number.
Let me pull it up. We cut the CPB to what we think we'll get if we get our minority grant back. There doesn't seem to be any way we'd get the full $150,000 back. That's about $80,000 below what it was before.
Okay.
And we pushed back the salary reduction to the earliest date we could do it, not having done it yet, which is December 1st, both of which ate away from the bottom line and put it about $2,500 in the red. Wrote up the contingency, which is that we bump off a $55,000 capital project on the phone system if we need to. And we answered the cash reserve question. The low point on that cash flow sheet would be about $170,000 in our control and another $100,000 tied up by that line of credit.
Okay. So let's walk through this slowly. I should probably forward this to the whole committee. I'm looking at it now. Let me just forward it.
Yeah.
What Brian is talking about, in case people are not following, we had a couple of caveats with our KPFA budget approval, and what the KPFA people did was make changes according to those caveats, and now we have a revised budget that apparently won't need caveats. And the idea is that we should just send this revised budget. We should approve the revised budget.
Well, I don't want to gum things up. I just thought since you have your finger on the pulse of both the committee and the board, you could figure out what will be most efficient for both. We could also do it next Monday if the National Board hasn't gotten to it by then.
It's probably likely that we will. Well, I'm not sure. So I see that the cash balance has been corrected, so there's no negative numbers, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then you added, you converted the CD to cash. Okay, that's good. And then in the budget tab itself, perhaps we don't need a new motion as long as it basically took care of. So in the budget tab itself, you have changed CPB to 370.
That's right.
And then the total surplus is $2,000 in the red. And then how will that be dealt with again? You won't do the improvements that you'd planned on?
No, I mean, basically the budget's saying we'll eat that. If the cuts are implemented, which they need to be,
mm-hmm.
it puts us in a sustainable operating position. We're just in the red because we've been operating without them for the first 2 months of the fiscal year.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, but... you know, the 2000. Oh, okay. Well, this is helpful then. So then, how does it sound, folks? We won't revisit this budget. Currently, as it stands now, it's been revised with lower CPB money than was in the original budget. The salary cuts are less than what they would have been because they haven't been made yet. And the cash flow has been adjusted to show that a CD is converted to cash, and there's no negative cash throughout the year. People might remember we had an earlier version of this that had negative cash at one point because that CD wasn't accounted for. So if people are happy with the idea, we basically what they did is address what we told them to. So we could just bring the new budget to the PNB as far as I'm concerned. Is there any objection to that course of action?
Is that a motion?
should it, how would I'm kind of confused on how we should do it. How about you, what do you? How would you phrase that as a motion, Paul?
Well, I haven't seen the thing yet, but you know, to recommend that the PNB approve the KPFA budget, is that what you want?
I think we don't even need that because we asked them to recommend a budget with like potential changes, and now we have a budget with these changes. So, you know, it seems like it's already, you know, we already voted on it.
Well, if it's already, okay, we already passed a motion suggesting this, and they've done it, so this is perhaps something that needs to be taken up with the PNB, since they've already got our motion, and they can get this explanation, and they can decide for themselves, I guess, right?
Yes.
All right.
So we probably don't need another motion.
Sounds like not.
Okie dokie. Well, that sounds good. Okay, well, thank you for that. Okay, so then moving on from the budget... Next agenda item, let's go 20 more minutes here, is a year-end report by National Finance Committee. This is something Susan brought up. We should, NFC should produce some document, you know, our assessment of where we stand, what's changed over the past year. My proposal here is that I could write such a report. It'll be brief and bring it back to the committee for approval.
I think that's excellent.
Do it.
If there's anything, you know, because we seem to, as people have pointed out, the problems with this our governance is that people turn over too often and things are forgotten. So, all right, so I will try to do that in the next couple of weeks. And then the next item is Grace's item, legal costs from PNB members. Grace, are you still here?
Yes, I'm here. The PNB expenses for asking opinions of our general counsel has been something on the order of some months $5,000, which is a pretty large sum of money, and we need to, I think, be prudent and realistic about the questions that we ask our general counsel, and have a higher bar than just requesting that three directors. I don't know where that comes from. I haven't seen a resolution. We don't have all the minutes from past meetings, but I don't recall ever seeing any such resolution that three members could ask for a legal opinion.
That resolution has been provided. There's a copy of it
that was
adopted in June, I think it was 2006.
Okay.
I had it at the bottom of my most recent set of requests.
Okay, so you sent it to me recently then, huh?
Yeah, I sent it to the whole board.
Okay, so let me see. All right, so, and that was that three... PNB directors could request a legal opinion?
Yes.
Okay. I believe that Ricardo addressed this and early on, probably 6 or 8 months ago, no, it can't be 8 months ago, but somewhere in the spring. He said that it's one thing to ask for a legal opinion when he's on a closed session call, but to ask for written legal opinion is a whole other thing. It takes a lot longer, and it's more expensive.